This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack, but with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Whatley on KLZ 560.
Good afternoon and welcome to Haystack Help Radio. Thank you so much for joining us today. What a beautiful day here in the Mile High City. Hope everyone has a great, great weekend. Well, we've got a new guest for us today, Kim Happensure. She is with Senior Care Authority, and it is great to have Kim in studio. And we're going to be talking about something today about senior driving. And so, Kim, first of all, welcome.
Well, thank you very much for having me
today. It's great to have you in. All right, so Senior Care Authority, take just a couple of minutes and kind of tell us about your business.
Sure. So we're in elder care consulting as well as we do senior living placement, and we help families navigate the vast industry of, you know, making decisions, the tough decisions, mm-hmm. on what they're going to do for their loved ones. You know, whether it be they stay at home or whether they need immediate placement or if they're just looking in the future, we help them navigate that because, a great example, just in my area alone, there's 470 communities.
Wow.
So I can help narrow those choices down and help you make the right decision on their next steps.
Sure, because everybody's situation is different, isn't mm-hmm. it? I mean, you don't know what kind of care the loved one may need,
right.
And so I would not want to try to just Google some different spots. And I mean, if you've ever looked for an apartment even through your life, I mean, that's a pain. I can't imagine doing something for a loved one that may need some care.
Well, you're right, and a lot of times, you know, they thank us over and over. I've helped over 1,200 families. So in doing so, they've all had different situations.
Sure.
You know, we've even got some, especially going through this pandemic, the isolation and being alone at home, they are actually ready to get out. And, mm-hmm. you know, they get moved into even an independent living. They start having fun again. They start making new friends and sharing meals with one another as opposed to being in their home.
Okay.
Day in and day out without seeing family or friends.
Right.
They've gone through a lot in the last year and a half.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, we could take the whole show and just talk about the pandemic and all the that caused. I mean, stress for all of us. I don't care how old you are.
Absolutely.
It was stressful. And then, you know, not being able to see family members and going and visiting them. And, man, ugh.
Yeah, it was tough. It was tough on everyone. But we are here to help narrow those pathways down because, again, a lot of times – you just, like you said, you Google, it's so hard. You don't even know where to start.
Yeah.
So just step by step, we help with that process, and we help with transition, and we also follow up with families after they've already made that transition to make sure and ensure that they're getting the care that they need and they deserve.
Sure. All right. And we're going to have Kim on several more times here and go through a lot of things just to help our senior community and caregivers. But today, as I mentioned, we're going to be talking about topic of driving. So we've also got Matt Gerwell joining us. Matt, how are you?
Yes, sir. I'm doing fine. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing well. And Matt is the program director and founder of Beyond Driving with Dignity program. So Matt, kind of tell us about this program and, or let's give us a little your background and then what this program is all about.
Sure. So Scott, I am a retired Ohio State trooper. And, you know, going through my career of 25 years, which, by the way, I loved every minute of, but I saw that there was a void in the system, so to speak, on what we do. I'm in Ohio, of course, but not only what we do in Ohio, but across the country with older drivers that may be experiencing a diminished driving skills, either physical or cognitive diminishments. And I just want to make very clear that I'm not talking about all older drivers. In general, many of them are still excellent drivers and will be for years to come. But I think we'd all agree that there is a certain part of that population that is experiencing some decline in driving abilities.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, there was a problem with nobody really wanted to be the person or the profession to tell this person that they probably shouldn't be driving any longer. That's not always a pleasant conversation. So that's what we started doing here upon my retirement. We started a company that developed this Beyond Driving with Dignity program to help older drivers make the right decisions about their driving future. And that can be anything from, look, after we meet with them for this three-hour session, it can be anything from, look, Mr. Smith, I think you're doing an outstanding job. Keep up the good work. And if anything changes down the road for you, call us back, to the other extreme. And the more often the case that, you know, I'm not sure you should continue driving again. So that's what this program is designed to do, is to help mediate that conversation between the families and the older drivers themselves, so that they can face this issue. I'm talking about the older driver,
right?
And possibly retire from driving, but still maintain their dignity in the process. And that's why the very name of the program is Beyond Driving with Dignity, because we place a huge amount of emphasis on helping the person maintain not only their dignity, but also their pride and their independence as well, through what can certainly be one of life's most difficult transitions, and that is that of a driving retirement.
Sure. You know, because it's tough. I mean, let's take the parent role and child role. I mean, I don't care how old you are, you're still the child, and then you're trying to take the keys away from the parent. And
absolutely,
that conversation, yep, a lot of times doesn't go good, because that's kind of their last end to freedom, getting out and doing what they want. So, boy, I can see where this would be a huge help in just, you know, taking us out of it, so to speak, and then you telling them, hey, you know what, you don't need to be driving anymore. That's not us telling them.
Right, exactly right, Scott. And the older driver is typically a lot more receptive to not hearing it from a family member. And that's what we try to serve that role as an independent third-party opinion, coming in and trying to help the older driver and the family make the right decisions about their driving future.
All right. So, Kim, if someone wants to take this course, kind of tell us the process. I mean, do you go to them, they come to you? How does all that work?
No, absolutely. So we'll meet with the family, they'll reach out to us, and generally there's an interview process. Basically, there's a lot of questions that we ask them, and then after all those questions, to just start building that relationship. Mm-hmm. And then we will come to their home, and I will sit with them, and it's about 3 hours that I spend with them, and we perform multiple, you know, not only the questionnaires, but a lot of it is based on building the relationship with that senior and that trust first.
Sure.
And I think starting from there, that makes all the difference in the world. What is it, Matt, that you say, they figure out if they like you within 30 seconds of meeting you?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And then everything else that takes place during that session is seen through that filter. So Kim is exactly right in what she said. I just want to reiterate that a lot of this time, this 2.5-3 hours, is dedicated to earning the trust and building a positive rapport with this person, so that if at the end they shouldn't be driving, they either say that themselves, believe it or not, they offer that opinion up, or at the very least, they're receptive to what Kim has to recommend.
Right. No, absolutely. Once again, you're listening to Haystack Help Radio. Kim Haffinscher is our guest with Senior Care Authority, and also Matt Gurwell. And Matt is the program director and founder of Beyond Driving with Dignity. And if you'd like more information, you can call 720-625-2782. That's 720-625-2782. So, Matt, what stats are out there, kind of? I mean, boy, you know, it seems like traffic is back. I don't know about we're in Cleveland, but I'm telling you, for a long time during this whole pandemic, it was kind of nice being on the highway. I mean, nobody was on the roads, and, you know, traffic was way down. I do a show with a personal injury attorney every week, and, I mean, accidents were down, which we're thankful for. But, I mean, their business just stopped. And now, wow, traffic is very heavy. But what are some of the stats with senior drivers?
I'll tell you two that I like to make mention of most often. And of course, there are infinite number of statistics available. But the two that really resonate the most with me are, number one, that the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, NHTSA, says that on average now, Americans are actually outliving their safe driving years by 7 to 10 years. So the good news is we're living longer. The bad news is our driving abilities are not, right now, they're not able to keep up with that extended life expectancy. So that being said, then, Scott, all of us can expect the day to come where it's just no longer safe for us to continue driving. So that's one of the things I like to encourage folks of any age, is to Kind of develop your plan B now, because if you live long enough, your plan B to maintain your independence, because if you live long enough, you're probably going to outlive your safe driving years.
Sure.
So again, regardless of our age, we all need to have a plan in place to help us figure out how will I maintain my independence if I can no longer drive. And the other statistic I like to make mention of, in a two-vehicle fatal crash, so two cars run into each other in Denver, Colorado, and someone is killed in that accident, if one or the other drivers is 70 or older, that person is 3.5 times more likely to be the person killed in the accident, just purely of their age.
Right.
So when I talk, Kim and I talk to groups of older drivers, you know, we tell them that, you know, at 85 years old, you could be the safest driver in this presentation today. But if a younger driver runs a stop sign on your way home today and hits you and someone is killed, there's a 3.5 times better chance it's you, again, just because of their individual's age. And that's primarily due to frailty. There are also some other contributors as well. But basically, that's due to our frailty as we age.
Right. Now, as far as skills that you would consider required for safe driving, what would those be?
I like to break it down, Scott, into two different categories. There are cognitive skills and there are physical skills. The physical skills, of course, are, and we hear this all the time from family members, my mom doesn't see well, or my mom doesn't see well to drive at night, or my dad has lost his hearing, or I think their reflexes and reaction time have slowed significantly. Their strength is not what it used to be. Their balance and their coordination. So those are examples of the physical aspects required for safe driving. And then the other part of that is the cognitive part, your executive functioning skills, your ability to reason and do things like that, mind-type things. And more specifically, Scott, within that cognitive part of safe driving is the whole issue of memory. So many times we, when we have discussions about a particular older driver and we're worried about their ability to remain safe behind the road, we talk about the physical qualities because they're the ones we see and they're the ones most obvious to us. But we overlook the important role memory plays in older driver safety. I like to even tell family members that if you've got a loved one that's getting lost in places that they've driven to, for decades, it's time for them to retire from driving because memory is such an important piece to safe driving.
Hmm. You know, and I want you to be an attorney here, but is there any legal ramifications probably to a family that may know, grandpa or grandma should not be driving? They know 1,000%. they call them sometimes and, hey, I'm here. How do I get home? That kind of deal. And then all of a sudden they're in an accident and maybe kill somebody or, cause a horrific accident. Is a family responsible for that?
Yes, and of course, Scott, as you can imagine, that depends on a million different factors.
Sure.
From state to state, jurisdiction to jurisdiction, but it's called negligent supervision. If the family knows that mom is an unsafe driver, then they have an obligation to do what they can to keep her from driving and keep her from preventing this terrible crash that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And they can be held liable. Now, that's only to a certain degree, and they have to prove that they knowingly knew mom was at an elevated risk for a future traffic accident. And hopefully the family has taken steps to do what they can to get her off of the road before something happens. But ultimately, at the end of the day, they certainly can be held liable.
Yeah. And, even forgetting the legal side of it, Kim, I would hate to live with that, knowing I knew it, knowing I had the power to do something about it and didn't, and then someone, be injured or killed because I didn't do something. That's a lot to live with, even if the legal area doesn't get in there.
Absolutely. And actually, when we did our extensive training, so I would be better prepared to actually meet with these families, Matt had shared a lot of statistics with us just in regards to loved ones that have passed away, that they've just lost their way. And the stories were just, they're endless.
Right.
So, I feel our responsibility is just to always do the best we possibly can. But again, a lot of times me telling my father, hey, Dad, it's time for you to give up the keys. He would be like, oh, yeah,
right.
I raised you. I provided for this family. Sure. It's not going to happen. So, yeah, I think that, you know, just the training that he's provided for us, it's really going to help us to kind of walk these families through this step by step, as well as right. building that relationship.
And so,
Kim,
go ahead, Matt.
Kim, it really puts the family in an awkward position. You know, exactly what she said again. You know, mom or dad are the folks that taught us how to use forks, right? When we were back to, and now all of a sudden the roles have reversed, and we're the party charged with telling mom that maybe she should discontinue driving, and that's a very difficult conversation, of course. And this program allows the family an opportunity to outsource, so to speak, what I like to call the dreaded driving conversation.
No doubt. Once again, you're listening to Haystack Help Radio. Matt Gerwell is with us, program director and founder of Beyond Driving with Dignity, and also Kim Havensure. She is with Senior Care Authority. And Kim's number, if you want more information on this or the placement for maybe a loved one, give Kim a call, 720-625-2782. So, Kim, I'll let you start, and then, Matt, you can add in anything you want. But is there any kind of self-assessment thing you can say, okay, look, you guys, if we've just brought up something that you think, man, we need to pay more attention to that, what can a loved one maybe do with, you know, the one they're concerned about driving on their own?
Okay, well, Matt, I think I'll let you take that one because Matt speaks to it more fluent than I do.
All right, Matt, go ahead.
Yes, Scott, that is exactly what we call this this 2.5-3 hour one-on-one session is a self-assessment. Kim, but and let me explain that, please. Kim and I and the others are not driving assessors. All we do is facilitate a self-assessment. And as Kim mentioned at the start of this this show, we just bring a basket of tools to the older driver, a very learning conversation, and all sorts of tabletop pen and paper type exercises. And we just facilitate, again, the individual working through this program. And then at the end, they are ultimately still the decision maker. So, again, this is not it's a clinical driving assessment. We don't have the authority, nor do we want to have the authority, to take away the person's license and their keys. Our objective is to get him to assess himself, and that's the role we serve, and then give him the opportunity to make the right decisions about his driving future. Interestingly, I'm sure most of the listeners are thinking, well, that sounds great on paper, but you're not going to get my dad to voluntarily say, okay, right, I should give up driving. But interestingly, Scott, two-thirds of the people we meet with for this session actually do retire from driving as a direct result of this session. And the whole thing, again, is designed to involve the older driver and empower them to make the right decisions. We talked earlier about the value that of trust building and building a positive rapport with this person. And I mentioned a learning conversation where Kim will come in and she'll sit down with the older driver and she'll ask him or her a million different questions, a lot that you would expect to be asked of someone who's driving is being questioned. You know, what medications do you take? How many accidents have you had? How is your vision? Things like that. But, Scott, we also ask them questions like, what was your favorite vacation as a child? Or what was your first car and what do you remember or not remember about it? And every time you ask an 80, 85-year-old person that question, the same thing happens. They get this giant grin on their face, and they're happy to go back and talk about their right. very first kid. I had one of my favorite responses was a gentleman that I met with, and his wife had passed away some time ago. And he said, my first car was a 19-something-something-something. I don't remember just what it was. But he said he added that it had a bench seat. And he said that allowed my wife and I to sit next to each other in the car and smooch. but the point is, right. it took him back to a very, very happy day. And it releases those feel-good endorphins that we're always hearing about, not only for the older driver, but also for Kim or I. You know, sure. that's fun to go back in time with that person. If they were in the military, and oftentimes these are World War II or now Korean War age veterans, the men particularly, but many times the women as well. But we talk to them about their military experience. And again, it's something they enjoy talking about. You know, typically their family members have heard all of Dad's war stories, you know, and dad's friends are starting to pass away. You know, we're getting older, and so they don't have anybody to share those conversations with and those memories with.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it's a lot of clinical, more data oriented type questions, but some of it just as well is just to build this sense of trust with the person.
Right. So, Kim, is there a way to have these conversations? Because, again, I think the word independence is what people would say they're giving up if they can't drive. How can you still make them feel like they have some, you know, dignity and independence, like we're trying to do here, when you're, you know, do decide that they shouldn't drive anymore? Do you still try to leave it up to them after you have the conversation? Or do you just tell the loved one, man, there's no way your loved one should be on the roads?
Yeah, and generally Matt's right. A lot of them do make that decision on their own after performing all these tests and answering all these questions, and they recognize that they are no longer probably safe behind the wheel. And something that Matt actually, at the end of it, after we speak with him, he actually signs a certificate. It basically states that, you know, he's consciously made the decision to no longer drive. And then there's also a health. What is that called, Matt? The form that they are actually asking for help moving forward with the driving,
Exactly. It's an invitation to help form for the driver that is going to indeed retire from driving. And it just, look, it's meant to, for the individual to be able to maybe post it on the church bulletin board or, you know, organizations they belong to, and all it says is, look, you know, I've decided on my own to retire from driving. There might be times where I could use a ride. If you think you're somebody that could, you know, maybe help me with that on occasion, you know, here's my phone number. But families have found that very helpful over the years. It's certainly not a solve-all problem, but or solution, rather, but families have found it helpful in certain conditions.
Right.
Sure.
So, Kim, do you suggest for the family member to approach the subject with the loved one and kind of talk to them a little bit before they call you in, or just let you break the news?
Yes, no, absolutely. I mean, obviously the conversations have to start at home. And what I like is the family involvement, where everybody kind of joins in and they all express their concerns to their parents. And, you know, Matt's even put together a workbook. So if it's something as simple as the family thinks they can probably navigate this, there are workbooks available out there. If they feel that this is absolutely no way they're going to be able, or they've brought it up, I just heard a conversation today. A woman, they asked her to please stop driving, and she said no. They took the car keys away. She went out and got a rental car and continued driving. So she just kept this, she kept moving forward. And they got the rental car keys, took that away, then she found another way of driving. So a lot of times in those instances, they've tried everything possible. Mm-hmm. They've exhausted all options, and that's where we come into play.
Right.
And that's when you come in and bring in that third party, like Mac was saying, so that we can help them navigate these decisions without having to steal the keys every different car they're able to get access to.
Sure. So, Matt, during this 3 hours, basically, I mean, kind of just walk us through the process and kind of the steps of that.
Sure. So like Kim alluded to, we interview the family in advance to find out what their concerns are and just to get a rough idea of what their medical situation is and things like that. And then we sit down with the older driver. Kim was right. We do it at the individual's home. We like to say at their kitchen table, the one place in the world they're most comfortable.
Right.
And then we spend the next, we say three, it doesn't generally take that long, 2.5-3 hours, going through this learning conversation that we talked about where we ask all of these questions. And then along the way, Scott, we're doing different cognitive exercises. About 8 of them, I believe, are in the session. And then at the end, we make a recommendation to the individual that you're either A, at an elevated risk for a future traffic crash because of the natural aging process, or B, you're not in an elevated risk for a future traffic crash. And then we have a very nice discussion with that person. Typically, believe this or not, even if we're recommending that they retire from driving, those conversations are still very cordial, very cordial and mature and they're beneficial conversations. But then once we get that ironed out with the older driver, you've explained to him that I don't think he should continue driving, and here's why I say that. And you, of course, they're going to want some discussion surrounding that. They're going to want further explanation on things and a better understanding of why you're saying that. And then that last half hour, Scott, we invite the family to come back in now, where during the bulk of the session, it was just Kim and the older driver. Now we invite the family back so that everybody can hear straight from the horse's mouth, so to speak, that mm-hmm. I think your father should retire from driving, and here's why I say that. So the older driver is still involved in that conversation as well, and then we show the family and explain to the family what types of exercises we did and how he maybe didn't necessarily perform well on certain ones of them. And then we have a nice discussion, too, about how this person can maintain their independence despite a retirement from driving, because that's what this is all about. You mentioned it, Scott, that they want to maintain their independence. They don't want to be, nor should they be, placed under house arrest.
Sure.
Just because they made the right and the difficult decision, but right decision, to retire from driving. It's disappointing to me that sometimes we almost seem to punish older drivers for making that tough decision, because we just turn around and leave them then sitting at their empty houses, otherwise empty houses. So we have a very nice discussion on different things available in that particular community. The family is typically very helpful in those conversations. They're offering up different suggestions on how they can help Dad maintain his independence. And like I said, 9 times out of 10, they're generally very positive conversations. And then when we leave the house, Scott, the magic of this whole thing is the older driver is not irritated with anybody because he's involved in the process from the moment you sat down at the kitchen table. And he knows, too, because we remind him several times during the session that you're still the decision maker.
Yes, sir. Great information, yeah. And Kim, we got about 30 seconds here, and I did not mean to leave this to the end, but the cost, let's talk about that for a minute.
So the three-hour visit, 2.5 to 3 hours, is $400.
Okay.
And generally speaking, that's probably the best $400 you're going to spend.
No doubt.
In lieu of what an accident looks like or anything else for that matter. So, again, I really can't stress enough that we're here to help. We're here to be a part of your decisions. We're here to help them make that decision on their own and keep the dignity that they deserve.
Absolutely. Well, Matt, hey, thanks for being with us again. We will do this more because this is a very needed topic to help people with, and we appreciate your time, sir.
Thank you, Scott. Thank you for having me.
All right. And Kim, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Kim's number, 720-625-2782. You can check out the website, seniorcareauthority.com/Denver Metro. Again, that's seniorcareauthority.com/Denver Metro, 720-625-2782. This is Haystack Help Radio.
Take AIM. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the Asset Manager all-in-one loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using this loans to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
Have you been thinking about a new pair of glasses? Maybe some prescription sunglasses? Well, look no further than Stack Optical. Since 1968, yes, you heard me right, since 1968, Stack Optical has been providing the most comprehensive quality ocular care for their patients. This family-owned business is proud to be one of the few optical offices that has their own on-site eyeglass production and eyeglass repair studio. Stack Optical, located at 2233 South Monaco Parkway, features the most extensive lines of eyeglass frames, sunglasses, and contact lenses to ensure that you love your appearance and experience superior comfort. Our comprehensive eye exams proactively diagnose eye conditions and diseases while providing the most accurate vision care. We welcome you to experience a lifetime of superior ocular care from doctors that are devoted to your eye health. Call now for your $69 eye exam, 303-321-1578. At Stack Optical, you'll see the difference.
At Flesh & Beck Law, your attorney sets you at ease from the first meeting so you have the space to think clearly. After an injury, you immediately start worrying about how you will afford the healing process. You start thinking about insurance deductibles, physical therapy appointments, vehicle repairs, and how to pay for rent in the meantime. Listening to one calm, qualified voice throughout the process will help you think rationally instead of making decisions based on anxiety. Call Flesh & Beck Law for a free, no-obligation consultation, and you will talk to a lawyer right away, not some legal assistant who just wants to find out how much money your case might be worth. Then, once you and your attorney both decide to move forward with your case, you will continue working with that attorney the whole time. The same person who meets you for a consultation will also sit beside you in court. Eliminate the fear of the unknown. Call Flesh & Beck Law at 303-806-8886.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio. Once again, thank you so much for being with us today. Well, you've heard this guest before, or I should say the company before, Elite Regenerative Stem Cell Specialist, and they are a new partner for us here at Haystack Help and our Sportsman of Colorado Radio. And I have said before, I did this procedure, about 4 years ago, and boy, I had great success with it, and until I did something stupid and hurt my knee again. But I'm telling you, we say stem cell a lot, but we're just going to really get into the term regenerative medicine. And so we are glad to have Luke Colwin with us from Elite Regenerative Stem Cell Specialist. How you doing, bud?
Doing well. Thanks, Scott.
All right. And we've also got Dr. Jim Seaton in with us. How are you, sir?
Very good. Thank you.
All right. And my old buddy, my young buddy, Don Horn. How are you, bud?
I'm doing great, Scott.
Man, it is good to have you in this morning. All right, Luke, let's talk just a little bit about Elite Regenerative. So let's give a little background on you, how you got involved with them, and then we'll get into this a little bit.
Well, I've been with Dr. Edward Donner for about 11 years. Started with him straight out of college from CSU. I'm the director of his Stem Cell Regenerative Institute at Elite. Back when I began, I had this procedure done in the beginnings of regenerative medicine. Two discs in my back got blown, throwing hay, loading hay up into lofts to the point where I couldn't get up off the ground. Back then, worked with a couple orthopedic surgeons, some spine surgeons that recommended a two-level fusion for me, being 22 years old. That didn't seem to be an option. Fortunately, we were developing some technologies that we use now today that allowed me to avoid surgery. And, you know, this many years later, I'm pain-free and surgery-free. So that's what got me into this whole stem cell world. And I have to say, it gets better and better every year. Results get better every year, and we're proud to be where we are right now.
Absolutely. So kind of give us an idea of who's walking through the doors these days and kind of maybe just some different patient type stories of, you know, who you're seeing come in for regenerative medicine.
Yeah, we really see every walk of life, you know, from young sports guys to more experienced guys in their
that's what we'll call
their older age.
Experience.
Oddly enough, lots of female patients, but really from everybody, you know, the guys that are weekend warriors doing their sports, tons of ranchers, farmers that need to really keep on their feet. They can't go into surgery and lose a whole crop for the summer. And all the workers around really get a good benefit from not being out of work and
right.
Getting better quick.
Right. Jim, I don't know what to call you. Should I call you Doc, Jim, Dr. Jim? You're a retired family physician, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Man, when you look back over the years of kind of where this regenerative medicine is today, would you have ever dreamed something like this would have been, you know, coming like this and helping so many people?
No, it really has been a huge advancement because we have so little to offer a lot of these orthopedic conditions traditionally with non-steroidal anti-inflammatories and physical therapy, but this has been a huge breakthrough for my patients and friends and colleagues as well.
Right. Anyone, two patients stand out that you sent there that, you know, and kind of give their background of what they were going through and then the help they received?
Well, one patient comes to mind, one of my old high school friends who was told he had to have surgery, and he came up and got both knees done, and it changed his life, basically, and he's avoided surgery since that time, too.
Sure.
I have a cousin who's a ski instructor for many years at Vail, and he had stem cells, and he was virtually unable to ski, and he, after 35 years of skiing, and he's back skiing, he can out-ski anybody again, and he's doesn't even slow him down. He's, you know, and he's 2 or 3 years post,
right.
Post-infusion.
Sure. I want to be, you know, very transparent here. I mean, medical world's, I mean, it's amazing, and there's amazing things to be done, but there's no fix-all for everybody, you know? I mean, right, Don?
True.
I mean, you know, yeah. I mean, some people we've seen got great, great results.
Some people get 100, and yeah. Some people get 60 or 70, but they're pleased with that.
Oh, yeah, thrilled with 70.
But, you know, it varies. You know,
sure.
Everyone's a little bit different.
Right. But this goes back to the, really just the way Elite Regenerative takes care of the patients and does that screening process to do everything you can, Luke, to make sure they're a good qualified patient for this, right?
Absolutely. You know, that's kind of our key philosophy at our clinic is really treating the patient from ground up and really making them a lifelong patient for us. Not in the fact that they'll need treatment lifelong, but we become friends during the process.
Sure.
You know, as far as walking in, we're not going to take what any other doctors really told you you need to do. We start working you up from ground up, mm-hmm. and going through conservative treatment, you know, working the way you should. We're not going to jump to a salesy pitch about what this could do to you,
mm-hmm.
because it's not always 100%, just like you said.
Right.
So we're going to give you a realistic outcome and, you know, something that we can both meet at the end.
Right.
And I wanted to kind of jump into, you know, what regenerative medicine is.
Sure.
You know, at this point, you know, stem cells is just a term everybody's called this.
Right.
And, you know, the FDA has come out with different statements and viewpoints on the term. We really use regenerative process, autologous regenerative medicine, because we use aspects of your own healing potential and transplant that into these areas that really need the extra help. So stem cells aren't always in all products, and they're a component of the regenerative process. But just want to kind of let everybody know we're not taking, you know, fetal stem cells. We're not taking other people's stem cells. We're not taking other people's tissue. We're using your own tissue and the tissue from bone marrow that has all the healing potential using other aspects, not just the cellular aspects. So if we minimally manipulate that, we just separate it, combine it, you know, with our own kind of IP process and put it back into areas that could potentially heal. And we're not turning back time, but we're allowing tissue to heal naturally. And we really get a good outcome through our process.
Right. And real quick, I mean, you know, just coming up there to visit and walking back in the back and see your two scientists back in their lab. I mean, here's what I just want to warn people, you know, over the last several years, I mean, you can see the word stem cell therapy everywhere. I mean, it's everywhere, you know, every chiropractic office, whatever. But most of those will have, you know, some nurse they'll hire one day a week just to come by there and do some things. And there's really not much oversight there, you know. And I don't know if I want somebody that might have just got their, you know, 12-day degree injecting something in me that, first of all, I don't know where it came from and what it is and if how good they are doing it. and all that, you know. So, I mean, I think that's something that, you know, you guys really stand apart. There's millions of things that make you guys stand apart, but just kind of talk about, you know, the science part of it real quick and just what you guys have there at the facility there in Loveland.
Yeah, in Loveland, the Elite Regenerative is located inside the Colorado Spine Institute. And this is a building that is AAHC accredited. We have government or governing agencies making sure our processes, our surgery center, everything is up to the par of a hospital or surgery center setting. That being said, in that same facility, we have a state-of-the-art laboratory, R&D regenerative resources, and they are really processing all of our technology, confirming all of our patient data, making sure we're operating at the highest quality of all of the universities, all of the other major regenerative institutes, and kind of collaborating with all these other institutes to make sure our process meets or exceeds, you know, anything out there. So together, this bundle of our facility has really been a tremendous asset in advancing this technology.
Sure. Once again, you're listening to Haystack Help Radio. Our guest today, Elite Regenerative Stem Cell Specialist. Their number, 970-342-2231. And as I mentioned earlier, Don Horn is with us. Number one draft pick of Vince Lombardi, 1967. Unfortunately, I told him the other day, too bad Tom Landry didn't make the call to you, Don, and say, Don, you're going to be a Cowboy. Yeah. But no, you had to go and be a Packer.
Packer, and then I came out here to Denver 50 years ago and started here and tore my knee and shoulder up. And now, you know, I'm a recipient of the regenerative stem cell procedures and that type of thing. Have been for, gosh, going on 9 years now. Right. I first had my first treatment up there 9 years ago. Man, I must be getting old.
Experienced, as they said, experienced.
Yeah, but I know we've, you know, personally, I've referred a lot of former NFL players and family members and that type of thing, personal friends over the years, you know, to look at the procedure and get it done. And I know we had one former NFL wide receiver, a Hall of Fame guy, and I called him years ago, and he was 3 weeks away from having his knee replaced. And I talked him into coming out here, and he had the procedure done. And they actually looked at his knee. We did his shoulder and his knee. And he looked at his knee, didn't think they could help him. It was that bad. But they went ahead because of who he was. He was a Hall of Fame guy and pretty well known. And they treated his knee. And I went about a month later, actually it was like maybe less than a month, he called me up and says, Don, I can't believe it. You know, my knee's 85% better. I've canceled my knee replacement. And he's going strong ever since. That was 5 or 6 years ago, I think. So
anyway. So when you look at the whole deal of regenerative medicine, and man, you think of, we've talked about this over the years together, but the injuries and things, man, that you guys, your body took. Yeah. The conditioning programs weren't what they were are today, are
no,
they?
Not the, no, you know, we these kids today, they couldn't go, I don't believe they could go through the training camp we went through. And our training camp was like 2 months long. And, you know, full pads, 2-a-days, and that type of thing. Of course, you played back in those days, too. You know, Jim being an old defensive guy or whatever. But back in the old days, you know, they'd shoot you up with whatever, you know. I mean, so, you know, Xylocaine, Novocaine, whatever. Get you back on the field. You know, take some of these pills, these pain pills, those same, you know, they call them salt pills. They give us all this stuff to get us back on the field. Never thinking what would happen to you 10, 20, 30 years later. And now we're... You know, we're the recipient of some of the ill effects of, you know, days gone by. So,
sure.
You know, thank God for this type of treatment.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. And again, you know, there's a lot of people say, well, you know, there's no guarantees with it, you know. And I'm like, hey, there's not one surgeon that should look at you and say he can guarantee an outcome on a surgery.
Everybody says you guarantee, right? If I can guarantee this, then turn around and walk out.
Yeah, no doubt. And Luke, so as you guys go through, you know, with a patient, kind of walk us through what the process is like. I mean, if they call 970-342-2231 to make an appointment, do they need to bring like MRI or, you know, x-rays, or how does all that work?
Well, we really try to accommodate our patients to the best of our ability. We have patients from around the world and around the country. So we do a lot of things over the phone. There's telemedicine stuff. You know, a normal patient, if you're around Colorado and you're willing to come up and join us, it's just a great experience from the start. You know, give us a call. We'll talk about your condition, you know, see what your treatment's been in the past. And then from there, if you have MRIs, if you have x-rays, we give you opportunity to do things remotely. You can send it to us. All of this stuff is just normal stuff that we just want to help you out. All that's free. As soon as we can get you to the point where we need to see you and evaluate you with the physician, we've got different programs to do that, either remotely or in the office. Mm-hmm. If you don't have images, you can just tell us your story. We're happy to start from there.
Yeah. Now, insurance, we're still working on a lot of insurance companies to try to get insurance to kick in on this. But the way I tell people, I mean, good night. Like I say, this worked extremely. And I'm telling you, when I got off the table, Don, my knee and ankle did not hurt. You know, again, I'm not saying that happens for everybody, but I'm just telling you, that was just my personal story.
Yeah, well, can I say something real quick?
Of course.
I did the same thing, and then I didn't read all of the...
I know. You were a bad...
Yeah. you know, the protocol for the few days after, or the week after, that my knee felt so doggone good the first day or two I'm out of that. I'm going... So I started doing things I should have done. And that I hadn't done in quite some time. And then, you know, I had a little relapse there or whatever because I came back too soon, you know, but still thinking I was young. But,
right.
Anyway, so, yeah, you got to be careful, on, you know, in the first few days after the procedure.
Sure. And, but, you know, it did great for me. And then, you know, last year I did have to do a knee replacement. But, again, I don't feel like the regenerative medicine failed me. It was just me doing something stupid coming down a mountain while I was hunting. But I'm saying all that to say this. I paid $8,500 out of pocket for my insurance, okay? So I'd much rather try to throw some money at trying to stay away from the surgery side. And that's one thing I appreciate about Dr. Donner is, I mean, he's a surgeon. He likes to do surgery. That's what he does. But his goal is to keep you from surgery. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, he's a really unique doc that really looks at the advancements in medicine. Mm-hmm. And he does things in a way that we want to keep you from these unknowing outcomes. Yeah. So there's always the option for surgery, just like you had in the in the past. Why not start with something that, you know, has the potential to get you by at least?
Because you can always do surgery.
Absolutely.
Always. It's always going to be an option, right?
Now, this procedure is so minimally invasive that, you know, it's just a quick needle pokes and, you know, you're on your way out.
I know.
So, well, there's more to it than that, but...
Sure, but you know what? I mean, it was a very comfortable procedure, and just to kind of talk about the facility there, I mean, the way you guys got the rooms all set up there and just very private, you know, you just feel like you're getting taken care of, you know?
Absolutely. We designed the whole facility, you know, to meet the needs of everyday guys, and we got back doors for the guys that need to be hidden. We've done plenty of that. So, you know, going back to... Like the way you're explaining, you know, all this technology is that, you know, we've got people with amazing outcomes mm-hmm. that pop off the table and start running down the street. And then we got guys that, you know, come in really in a lot of pain and they leave in a lot of pain. And, you know, it's a good couple months until this works.
No,
so
I mean,
there's a big range there.
Back when Don and I were going through this, I mean, you know, some people would call it, man, I thought you said, you know, this. And again, I always try to be careful and not set their expectation. But, you know, it may be 3, 4, 5 months before it kick in. But then, and I'm telling you, I interviewed probably 150 patients, you know, all walks of life. Like you said, athletes, just housewives, to just normal guys, whatever. And I never had one person, in their own words, not tell me that they were less than 70% better.
Yeah,
I mean, not one. Yeah.
Yeah, we can't make any claims.
Sure, no.
What this can do or what it's treated for, but, you know, we're willing to try to help everybody mm-hmm. out the way we can to at least get some relief in their life.
Yeah. So, Dr. Seaton, get back to you real quick as far as just, you know, your medical knowledge. I mean, this whole regenerative medicine, and whether it's PRP, stem cell, whatever, I mean, it's pretty exciting stuff of what it can and has the ability to do to the human body, isn't it?
It's definitely a another part of the armamentarium to keep people from surgery and offer them an alternative. I always tell patients, too, even if it buys you a few more years, that the technology is changing, even with joint replacements and mm-hmm. what we, you know, so the longer you put it off,
sure,
the more you're going to, the more advantageous that is for the long term, too, because you don't want to go through two or three knee replacements in your life. And
right.
if you start at age 50 and you wear it out, the second one isn't the same as the first one.
Right.
So
you want both tires the same, don't you?
Exactly. Uh-huh. So I think there's some, and I've had certainly walked patients through that algorithm where we can temporize, and if you delay it 5 years, I mean 10 years, that's significant
sure.
change, and financially it makes sense. I mean, right. it's.
And so, Luke, does basically regenerative medicine can kind of go in any joint, or most? I mean, I think knee, shoulders, probably most popular, but where all is this good for?
Yeah, it really is safe and effective in many orthopedic conditions. It's been known to help other conditions as well. But, you know, most of our patients, I would say, come to us with joint pain in, you know, numerous joints, or I think we've treated over 26 orthopedic conditions.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, ranging from shoulders, knees, you know, your jaw, just about everything. Dr. Donner is a dual board certified in orthopedic and spine. Not a lot of docs get to that level.
Yeah.
But he's able to really put these where they need to go. Spine specialty is where he's really advanced the last, you know, 15 years. And, you know, lots of docs, spine surgeons aren't going to offer this and be able to treat your spine, which is very expensive to treat.
Sure.
So getting all of your spine treated is a great benefit at our clinic.
Right. Once again, it's Elite Regenerative Stem Cell Specialist. Their number, 970-342-2231. And just right off of I-25 there, what exit is that there?
I-25 and Highway 34.
Yeah, Highway 34. Just hang it right there. You'll see the new Shields store right there, and they are right behind there. And really just everything right there at the complex. I mean, you got the surgery center just right across the parking lot. Are there times that maybe some procedures that you do, especially with a spinal thing, may require hospital stay, but most of this is in and out? We hadn't talked about that. This is just a few hours, right?
Yeah. The location's great. You know, we have patients, like I said, around the world, around the U.S. It's about 40 minutes from DIA. When you get up there, our facility in-house, you know, we've got the spine center, we've got a med spa, you can bring your wives, we can treat them just as well as you're going to be treated with us. But then we've got, you know, our research center across the street, surgery center. If you need surgery, you know, Dr. Donner is the one that's going to say, you know, this would be better off, you know, going that route. And that's
right.
What's really cool about it. We'll refer you to the right people if we're not the right people.
Sure.
But, you know, the location and what we can offer, like you said, Shields is right there. Hopefully you can come in, all your sportsmen, just pop in and
absolutely.
Grab what you need as you come visit us. So.
And Don, this is something too where, you know what, I think you could be a spokesman for this. Pain changes your life, doesn't it?
It sure does. Oh my gosh, it sure does. Yeah, I wish I'd. They said, you know, what's your biggest regret on this whole procedures? And, you know, in my dealings with the stem cell, my only regret is I wish I could have done it 20, 25 years ago,
mm-hmm.
you know, myself. But talking about what Luke said before, you know, I mean, I had an NFL guy come here a few years ago, and he had all kinds of things. I think we did treat 11 different areas of his body. And his big concern was his Achilles. And he treated his Achilles, and today he's running on the beach in San Diego and doing things and stuff and whatever. In fact, he just called me about 2 months ago, giving me an update on him and stuff. But
all right.
It's amazing. You can treat, I mean, you know, I guess all kinds of different parts of the body now and that type of thing
right.
that I didn't even think before. Because initially
sure.
when I got into it, it was just, you know, hips, knees,
mm-hmm.
and shoulders.
Did it help your golf game?
No, doggone it. Can it help the game, Luke?
Oh, it can. Yeah. It definitely can.
Yeah, you can walk out to the ball now. Yeah, yeah.
Well, it makes you slow down a little bit, which makes the golfers better.
That's true. You know, that's right. A good point. Yeah, that's a good point.
You are right. But, folks, look, again, as Luke just mentioned, Dr. Donner, which will be on a segment with us soon, dual board certified, as I mentioned earlier. So here's what. Think about when you go by the chiropractor's office and they got the sign out there, stem cell therapy. Luke, what's a couple of questions that may be good to walk in and ask before someone sticks a needle in you that you don't know?
You really have to understand both the regulations behind what you're allowed to do as far as stem cell or regenerative therapy. You know, a lot of these clinics, if they're injecting things into you that are not yours, you know, that's really something that the FDA is completely against. You know, that's considered a drug. You need to have trials to figure that out. You know, our technology is really based on surgical orthopedic principles of we're taking tissue that is normally there and putting it there. And this is all your own, so it's safe, effective. Just like Don said, it goes in tons of areas. But just like in a surgery, there's a thing called Cell Saver. You know, as you're doing surgery, we collect your blood, we collect your bone marrow, your bone particles, all that stuff gets filtered and then just put right back into you. This is a way to help you avoid, you know, these external transfusions.
Right.
So we're taking those aspects of that and doing the same thing in our facility to try to help you in these areas that we're working on.
Right. Once again, the number is 970-342-2231. It's Elite Regenerative Stem Cell Specialist, and you can call there, ask for Luke, and he will get you information and get you in. And from the time someone normally comes in and, you know, you look at them and you find out they're a good candidate, usually how long does it take then to get in and maybe get on the books with a procedure?
Yeah, it's a very quick process. We make our patients a priority. We do have the space and availability to accommodate most all patients. Right. Typically, you know, within a week or two, if you can get up to us, we'll make room. And then procedures, you know, don't really take more than 2 weeks out to get on the book.
Okay, cool. Well, gentlemen, this has been fun. We'll do it again.
Thank you.
Dr. Jim Seaton, I want to thank you and Luke Coleman again with Elite Regenerative Stem Cell Specialist. Their number 970-342-2231. And for Mr. Don Horn, thank you, sir. We appreciate it.
Good to be here.
All right. Great to have you in, sir. I want to thank all of our guests today, but mostly thank you for being with us for Haystack Help Radio. Hope you have a great rest of your day. Stay right here on KLZ 560.
Not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.